And welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean.
Here we are.
Yes.
Yes.
Here we are.
Books.
Yes, books. Speaking of books, we went to the local library.
Mm-hmm.
And
libraries are great, guys.
Yeah, and I didn't realize how many comic books they have there.
They had quite a few. They really did. You checked out quite a few things.
I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to read them all.
Well, you can always recheck them out.
I know.
So you can read.
It's not fair to the people that actually want to read them.
Yeah, but you checked them out because you want to read them.
I do. Yes, yes, yes.
Should probably do that.
I know I will. Well, I got the first volume, I think it's of Doom Patrol by Grant Morrison,
mm-hmm.
which is something I've always wanted to buy, but I don't know if I want to read. So, something I've always wanted to read, but I don't know if I want to buy.
There you go. That makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, man. I want to get into that weird stuff. Like, I like weird stuff, but I like Doom Patrol being weird. But I figured I'd give it a shot.
Uh-huh.
I've always heard great things about it, so I think it's worth a shot.
Sure.
I picked up, it's a Super Sons collection.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't think, have we ever done a Super Sons book here? Because there is one that I really want to do. The one where they go to that island.
With the women?
Yes.
I don't think we've ever done that.
We should.
I think we
That's
should.
A trip.
Yeah, well, we should probably bust that one out.
That's a trip.
Yeah. There's a lot. I mean, yeah, because I feel it's a World's Finest, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so then we should. I don't think we've done it. I mean, we've done a ton of World's Finest.
Yes, but not this particular one.
I don't know this particular one. It might have been a while, so maybe we're due.
I think we might be.
Yeah, so I'll have to get that one. I'll do some Super Sons, but I have a collection of that. And I also got Spider-Man and the Death of Jean DeWolf.
Okay.
Which is it's tragic as fuck.
Cool.
From the 80s. I'd like to read some good tragic comics from the 80s.
Yep.
Being like, Spider-Man, he's not your neighborhood Spider-Man. He's just a tragic motherfucker. Yeah, that's kind of that stuff. So
sure.
So I'm very excited about that. Oh, what else? What is it that we wanted to bring up? Because there's something.
I don't know. Libraries are great. Don't harass people who get cast as Batwoman on Twitter, or just any comic book character.
Are they harassing her?
Yeah, she left Twitter. And
who gives a shit?
I don't know.
Act.
This is what I don't get. I don't know why people give a fuck. Like,
who do they want to?
There are so many things that I hate.
Uh huh.
But I've never.
You just like a lot of things.
I hate so many things, but I've never tweeted at, like, you know, Ben Affleck to tell him that I really hated Batman. Like, him as Batman. I didn't actually hate him as Batman, but, like, I never tweeted at Ben Affleck to be like, hey, man, just sleek fucking blue dicks. Like, I never, why? Why would I bother?
That's a lot, you know?
Why the fuck would I bother? I don't care. I do not care that much.
You can, look, this is how I look at Twitter sometimes is.
Is that it's evil and that we should all leave it?
It's evil and it shouldn't exist, but.
And none of us should use it.
No. No, we're not meant to use
it. We really shouldn't.
Man was not meant to speak in 280 characters.
No.
Unless if they're writing microfiction.
Yes.
And if you're doing something.
That's a thing.
Yeah. You know, you can do that and fucking write them on beer bottles and shit like the
mm-hmm.
one person did. But I've never. I have. There's been a few instances where maybe I've tweeted at somebody something negative or. Not negative, it's just, yeah, I mean, it's just in a negative connotation. It's not going to insult
sure.
maybe directly, but it's also.
I mean, I've yelled at Enterprise Rent-A-Car over Twitter because of their fucking computer bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, you could talk.
And I was like, oh my God, I just stood in line for 4 hours because your computers are down, you dicks. But, yeah. I mean, that's the extent of it. I've never just been like, I'm going to just relentlessly harass.
That's just like, well, there's a difference. That's just.
A director of a movie I don't like on Twitter. I don't get it.
Yeah. It's justified, you know, you had service problems with a place that probably.
That's what Twitter is for.
Yeah, you could use that. But people use Twitter just to be like.
Lodge a complaint via Twitter.
Right, but the thing about Twitter, what's crazy is that these are people you've never met in your life.
And you will never meet.
And you will never meet. Like, I could tell you that, I could safely say that 99.9% of those people that tweet at Ruby Rose We'll never meet her.
No, of course not.
Never see, never get a chance to be in the vicinity of her.
Yeah.
In their entire lives. Yet they are bold enough, entitled enough, I guess. I mean, it is a platform, and, you know, if you do it within the, and if you're speaking to somebody within some parameters, even though those parameters on Twitter are very loose, you know, I mean, they could be used, you know, whatever, you know, it's free speech and everything. I mean, look, I get it, but, you know, you're bold enough, though, to be like, hey, Ruby Rose, blah, 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 die, or whatever it is that people are saying to her.
Right.
There's something about the character of a person. It's like, you basically are just outing yourself as a piece of shit.
Yeah, it's never occurred to me to be like, I'm going to go after this person and just tell them to kill themselves.
Even if there's...
Like, I don't even understand the thought process.
Look, here's the thing. Here's something else too, and I'm gonna use this person's name because he hasn't listened to this fucking podcast. So I don't give a shit. The whole shit with Chris Hardwick.
Mm.
Okay, I'm just gonna say I am not a fan of him.
Yeah, you have your opinions.
I have my opinions of him, and a lot of the stuff that came out about him, you know, in that post that was alleged, you know, that was implied that it was him.
Sure.
You know, we can't, because it wasn't actually like...
He was never named, yeah.
He was never named and everything like that, but it was applied.
Uh-huh.
And people made those deductions and stuff like that. Just knowing from what I've heard from other people, you know, based on those experiences. And I mean, I've only actually met the guy once.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other interaction I have with him was when he DM'd me once. Because it was like very early on in the Nerdist podcast where he was talking to, like, it was like an episode with Adam Carolla or something. And he was talking about the Lost Boys, and he made something, some sort of incorrect. I thought he made something incorrect. He said something incorrectly about the movie or something. And I was like, haha, this is one of those times where I was like, haha, I'm going to say something to this person and tag them in it, you know? Mm. And then for some reason, he decided to DM me and say, no, it wasn't like that. And then since he didn't follow me, I couldn't DM him back and say, oh man, I'm sorry. You know, I'd have to give him a public apology by tweeting at him. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how that works. But that, I don't think it's like that anymore with DMs.
Oh, I don't know how DMs work.
I guess. But so based on those two interactions, you know, with him personally, I have my things against him, and I'm not. And I've watched him on TV, and I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah.
So, but I've never gone on my way of all the stuff that's going on with him.
Yeah.
Recently, I've never decided to be like, hey, I'm going to tweet about him.
Fuck that guy.
And say,
right?
Fuck that guy. And I'm going to say, but I'm just going to go on a diatribe. That's not in me. And some people just, you know.
That's how they supposed to spend their fucking time.
Some people are just like saying, it's like, you know, they can't be. I mean,
dude, I've never even tweeted at Trump to tell him to go fuck himself.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't.
Everybody tells Trump to go fuck himself on Twitter. That's what Twitter is for. I've never even done that.
I think maybe the only thing closest I've done to this, and I will come clean saying that. Not come clean because I'm not really hiding anything, but, like, you know, maybe if I've tweeted a picture of something and you might tag somebody that's like a tangentially rated joke or something. Sure. Like that. But I don't think I've ever made an overt, maybe I have because you can find it.
Sure.
I don't know. But I can't recall a time where I've been like, hey, I'm going to go find that person and tell them to fuck off.
Yeah.
I'm going to have such an adverse reaction to a movie I saw or a television show or a book I read and tell somebody overtly to eat shit.
Yeah.
And
I mean, tell DC Comics overtly to eat shit. But they're an entity. I'm not talking about the creator. I'm not, because you know what? A lot of times it's not.
We use their names here.
Yeah, we do that here. But you know what? I don't think I've ever just been like, hey, even with that thing when they, you know, did the whole Batman Catwoman wedding that wasn't the wedding, da 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 da. I wasn't like, fuck Tom King. Like,
yeah.
I was like, fuck DC editorial for fucking spoiling that whole shit. We all knew it was going to happen, but then they like blew this out of proportion. And how do I trust this company? That's an entity.
Yeah. If anybody has grievances to air with particular people that write that they certain creators, it would be you with regard to Catwoman.
Totally.
Like, I'm surprised you've never...
I've never tweeted at Anna Senti. Yeah. I don't even know if she's on Twitter. But I've never just been
hopefully
like...
Hopefully she's not. She probably isn't. And God bless her if she isn't.
You know what? Really, none of us should be on Twitter. I've really been thinking about just shutting my whole account down. Because it's a fucking cesspool of garbage.
Yeah, like I've known, I've said, I know I'm sure
I've been a dick on Twitter. I'm not gonna say that I haven't, but I don't think I've ever like gone after anybody just for no fucking reason.
It's a sustained
like kill yourself. I'm gonna find you and dox you. I've never
why don't
done
you
anything.
Go fuck? Yeah,
like that does. I might be like, hey man, this thing you did was uncool, but I'm not gonna be like, you know what? And then like for 3 or 4 days, just be like, fuck you. You know, I don't do that shit. It doesn't even dawn on me to do that shit.
There's so much energy that has to go into that.
That's the thing. I'm like, what the fuck are you wasting your time for?
That is such a, it's such a waste of time. Okay.
I don't have any time.
People don't realize, a lot of people these days don't, that fuck with Twitter and do all this shit. You gotta fucking understand, time is a commodity.
Yes.
And the shit that you're doing, if you're going out of your way to harass
Ruby Rose
for playing Batwoman, which...
For whatever reason,
I don't know. I don't even know.
I heard ones that some people were pissed because she was going to be a gay character.
But that's what isn't that
but
what
she
that woman
is? Is gay. But then other people were pissed because they were like, "Well, Ruby Rose isn't gay enough." But I don't get that either because Ruby Rose has been out for a while.
Huh?
So I'm just like,
how gay do you have to fucking
right,
be?
I'm like, is there? What does that even mean? Like, how do you?
Who
the fuck says what's gay enough? Like, what does that even mean? So I don't know.
And are they upset that she's playing Catwoman or Batwoman, or that somebody is playing Batwoman at all? And is there somebody else that should be playing Batwoman that is gay enough?
Well, that's the thing. I'm like, who says what's gay enough? Or who says?
Apparently, these people on Twitter.
Who says what's too gay? I don't get it. Like. How do you get to be like the person who decides that, or who gets to be the person who's like, I don't like gay people on my TV playing canonically gay characters? I'm like, what the fuck? What are we even talking about here? People are all fucking idiots. Just fucking watch it.
Again, too much time. How do you have so much
time? Laugh at that Teen Titans trailer where Robin says, fuck Batman, and never watch that because it's fucking stupid. But, like, don't waste your time tweeting at Ruby Rose because she's, I don't know, not gay enough or whatever the fuck you think it is. Like, I don't get it.
This is the curse of celebrities.
It's just the curse of...
The scourge of society.
We live in a dumpster. So, yeah, never tweet.
Never tweet. All right.
Your Twitter.
Delete your Twitter. Delete your account.
Seriously thinking about doing it. Anyway, we should talk about a book now.
Anyways, before we do that, let's let people know. People can find us on Twitter at Angry Hero Sean.
And I'm at Jen's Dancefield, but I don't know for how much longer.
Yeah, we exist there.
I exist for now.
I'm assuming everybody else is in the show who are loyal to the show. They're always nice to us.
Yes.
Most people are. I don't think I've really.
I've never. Yeah.
And we put this out to the world every week.
Oh, I know. Like, you can listen to, I mean, if you really want to hear me be a dick, just listen to this podcast.
Yeah, no. If you want to hear us be shitty, if you want to hear some shittiness,
want to hear me be an asshole, please. There are how many episodes of this podcast?
And you can, if you have something to say about the show, you could rate and review.
And you can email us
on Apple Podcasts or email us at worstcollectionever
@gmail.com.
So, and we have a Facebook page, which we're not even going to talk about Facebook.
No. Again, delete your account.
All right.
Yeah, let's talk about a book.
Let's take our break. We'll come back. We'll talk about a book for this week.
You like cheap comic books, right? Well, I'm Professor Allen, and I talk about cheap comic books on the Quarterbin Podcast. In every episode, I'll dissect a single comic from my collection, as long as I paid no more than 25 cents for the issue. Forget about $4 new comics that you can read in 4 minutes, or crossover events that can cost $100 to collect. Join me in the Quarter Bin, where even bad comics are a bargain, and good ones are a steal. The Quarter Bin Podcast is part of the Relatively Geeky Podcast Network. Visit us at relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com or search Relatively Geeky or Quarter Bin Podcast in iTunes. I guarantee it'll be worth every penny.
All right, we're back with our book for this week. I feel very relieved.
What, you feel better?
Yeah, I feel a little bit. I feel good.
Do you feel better about after we rant about Twitter for a while?
Yeah, it's good to rant about Twitter because it doesn't make any sense. So
it's true.
I felt good to kind of get that air out.
Just, okay. I'm glad. I'm glad you feel better.
So our book for this week is from the 90s. Cause that's how
and it is so 90s.
Oh, it's too fucking 90s.
This is the days of the 90s where the women had those extremely long asses.
Oh, yeah. That we're
smack dab in the middle of long ass territory.
We're doing X-Men Volume 2. So this is the X-Men Blue Team. It's always confusing because there was X-Men... So, yeah, it's actually X-Men Volume 2. So, X-Men Volume 2, number 31, from April 19... I'm probably going to say 94. Yeah. As we were explaining... Now, actually, I think I had this book back when it first came out.
Mm.
That's why... And I think I found it... I found this at Pulp Fiction in Culver City. And I decided to pick it up. On the cover here, it's three ladies.
One of them is Psylocke.
One of them is Psylocke. And the other is Revanche. Is that how you say that?
You know, I think so.
Revanche.
Revanche.
R-E-V-A-N-C-H-E. It's like ranch, but with
it's Reverend
in it.
Is Reverend Ranch.
Reverend Ranch.
That's if your favorite salad dressing decided to start a church.
Ooh, I would go to the Church of Ranch.
Yeah.
Would there be ranch I went to church forever, and I don't know what the frick those things are called.
Holy water?
Holy water.
Oh, there's a name for those. Asking the wrong Catholic.
Yeah, I know. I was like, bad Catholic. Whatever those are, there should be ranch in there. Mm. And then when you get the communion, you dip it in ranch.
Sure. Yeah, you could do that. So
the priest dips it in ranch for you and puts it in your mouth. I don't know.
It's all just gross everywhere. It's dripping all over the floor.
It just dips the part of it. It doesn't like do a big helping, you know?
I don't know how people are dipping. Sometimes people like to put a lot of dip.
You know, that actually would be a good sermon at the Church of Ranch, the Ranch Church.
About dipping in moderation?
He'd be like, you know, he'd just be up there, you know, time for the homily. He'd be like, how y'all dipping?
Can I have an unpopular opinion?
Yes.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like ranch that much. I would rather have blue cheese.
It's a bit overrated.
Ranch is not my thing. I never order ranch when we're out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy it. I like blue cheese better.
You know what I discovered recently is the coleslaw dressing.
Oh, yeah.
Because your mom busted that out recently.
Yeah, it was probably my dad's idea, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm sure your dad was probably like, ooh.
It's my dad who eats literally like a 13-year-old boy.
I'm a big fan of coleslaw in general.
Yes, you are.
And I know that's not... it tastes like coleslaw. There's a certain crisp tanginess to it.
Mm.
So I'm a big fan. Sadly, this comic book is not about salad dressing.
No, it's not, but it should be.
Actually, it'd be great if it was just the X-Men just looking in the fridge being like, oh, look at that salad dressing. Like, because the fridge is just filled with salad dressing.
I mean, what kind of salad dressing do you think, like, Beast would go for?
Beast is,
do you think he's like a French dressing kind of guy?
No, he's kind of refined. He's doing like a raspberry vinaigrette.
Oh, you're right. You know, and it's probably a homemade one.
He's definitely doing homemade vinaigrettes.
Yeah, he got like the recipe out of like Bon Appetit magazine, and he makes it himself.
Yeah, Beast is making his own vinaigrette.
He
guys.
Absolutely is. You're 100%. You're 100% right.
Don't at me.
You're deleting your account. How can anybody at you?
I know. What if I'm don't at me. I'm not looking at my mentions. But Beast makes his own dressing.
No, you're right about that.
And I believe.
I will stand by that. I agree with you.
If Hank McCoy was a real person, I'd be like, "Yo, how you dipping?" And he'd be like, I'm making myself.
He's like, I don't dip.
I don't dip. I spritz.
Oh, 100% spritz.
He spritz with his own atomizer.
Well, that's the thing. He got it from Williams and Sonoma.
Oh, yeah.
He got a really nice one, like top of the line. He researched them before he bought them, and he spritzes.
Oh, he spritzes.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about this dumb book. X-Men, number 31, April 1994. On the cover, we've got Psylocke. We've got Reverend Ranch. And in between them, in the back.
Remember this girl's name.
Spiral. Spiral Pasta.
So when first looking at this cover, I thought that everyone was holding a sword.
Well, they are.
Well, I thought they were holding many swords, and then I realized that Spiral has many arms.
Spiral has four arms. No, yes. Six arms. No,
six.
Four.
Four? Six.
She has six.
Spiral has a lot of arms, so I was like, why does it, why so many swords? And now I know why. Because she has many arms. And it took me a second to realize this.
And the story is called, well, this is called Revelations on the cover, but the story is called Soul Possessions, A Tale of the X-Men. No shit.
Yeah.
I thought it was A Tale of the Metal Men.
So we start in Japan, in Tokyo, I think.
Yeah, so we're starting off with a flashback here.
Yes, of what's her face. So there's a lot of this. So this is like one of those where like Psylocke and Revanche have swapped bodies / minds and have the same memories or something.
Well, here, let me explain.
Please do.
So basically what happened was Betsy Braddock, who is Psylocke.
Yes.
She went through the siege peril because she's a mutant.
Yes.
That has these power, you know, these psychic powers or whatever. And way back in like X-Men, you know, this is back in like the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And they went through some sort of dimensional portal and something happened where she came out of the portal and she was amnesiac and everything. And it just happened that at the time where she appeared out of this portal, what happened was, because going back, because that's Betsy. Okay, so we got Betsy.
Right.
And now in Japan, you have this...
what is her name?
Well, you have Revanche or Kuwanin.
Yeah, Kuwanin.
Kuwanin. And she had... So basically Kuwanin was like this badass assassin.
Yes.
That worked with the Hand. So the Hand, which maybe you remember from Daredevil.
Yes.
So she was a part of the Hand. And then she had this dude with the hair...
That's her boyfriend.
Her boyfriend or her lover, Matsuo, who was also like a badass assassin.
Yes.
And at some point, they had to fight each other. And we do see that in the book.
Right.
They fought each other, and she fell over the like over the fucking ledge or something and some like some cliff.
Yeah.
And she ended up basically like being... all damaged and
she was dead.
She's essentially
basically dead.
She was basically dead, but they recover. Matsuo recovered her body and took it to the Hand, and they put her in like a thing so they can try to keep her alive. And he wanted to bring her back.
Mm-hmm.
So it just happened that Betsy Braddock came out of the siege perilous or this dimensional portal, and she was amnesiac, and they found her, and the guy was like, hey, you know, it'd be dope is if we switched, you know, if we kind of like took my girl's memories, you know, in this Kuwanin girl, and we kind of put her into Betsy Braddock. And then at some point, Spiral, who works for Mojo, gave her cybernetic eyes.
Yeah, that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, gave Revanche, who is the new, who is in Betsy Braddock's body. But Betsy Braddock and her name, her real personality, her real soul or whatever, went into this Kuwanin's body.
Yeah.
And she, that's why, you know, it starts off with like, you know, Betsy was, you know, looks like, you know, she's not Asian, you know, originally, but then when she becomes Asian.
Yeah, this whole thing's confusing.
It's confusing.
It's really hard to explain, but basically, so like that whole thing, that's the backstory.
That's the backstory. Basically, we see a lot of flashbacks.
We start with in the first, like in the present, is Spiral is like watching what's going on through Revanche's bionic eyes. And as she's watching it, Revanche is at the X-Men mansion.
Because she's kind of become like...
She just sort of showed up at the X-Men help.
She's been there to help, and she kind of became a little bit of the team, but she's not really...
Right.
Yeah.
And Dr. Charles is trying to help her and all this sort of stuff, whatever. So what we see is her with the sword. Charles is sleeping in bed. He looks like he's smiling too.
Oh, he's having the best
sleep.
He's
just like, it's almost one of those like when you put your hands together when you're a kid and like put them underneath your head and you go, to pretend you're asleep. That's like what he fucking looks like right now.
He's having the most delightful sleep.
Yeah, he really is.
He's like,
and so, but she's like standing over him with the sword and she's getting ready to like chop his head off. And Spiral's like, oh, goody, he's good. The head of the X-Men's gonna be headless. Ah, joy. And then she loses the signal.
Right. I also want to point out that this is something that I kind of find. I mean, I guess he doesn't have much friends or family.
Who, Charles?
Charles. Yeah, I mean, at this point, you know, I mean, he's got.
No one likes him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no one likes him. No one likes him.
That's not true. Everybody loves
him. But he's got like a picture on his bedstand of Cyclops and Jean Grey.
Well, those are his only friends.
Those only friends. So then what happens is, so the connection goes out, and then now we cut to...
Charles waking up Psylocke to be like, yeah, I found this sword with a note by my bed, and she's gone.
Yeah.
And Psylocke is like, don't worry, Professor X, I'm still wearing a thong in this scene.
That's what he tells. Yeah, that's what he tells. He's like, hang on, I'm in my underwear.
Don't worry.
Check it out.
I'm still in a thong, just in case you were worried you were not going to see enough of my ass.
Just in case you didn't realize.
I realize this man is my teacher, but I'm just going to wear this thong around him.
Look, let me tell you.
Because why not?
Look, I know you
it's
came
in. It's not weird.
He's like, you came in my room. I'm just here to inform you that I sleep like a sexy 90s woman.
Well, yeah, I've got this long ass.
I have like the just longest ass.
I have the longest ass and it makes jeans look weird, so I just wear thongs constantly.
You know, yeah, so here's the sword and there's a note attached and she's, you know, apparently she just, you know, revenge like, left too.
Yeah, and they're like, well, no one knows where she went. And then Charles leaves, but he's psychic, but he didn't catch this.
Well, here's the thing. I think that the reason why he doesn't check her head.
Oh, he can't?
I don't think he can, because I think there's something like...
Oh, you're right.
Because she's a super high telepath, too. So, I don't...
Yeah, but something's going on, because he can't, like, ever since they switched to, like, something with their brains and stuff, like, he can't read her. Whatever. But don't worry, Revanche left Psylocke two gorgeous purple bionic eyeballs.
Fuck yeah.
That's gross.
She's like, yo, these are some sweet-ass eyeballs. And then now we cut, you know, man, we got...
And then we've got some more flashbacks about, like, Revanche and her boyfriend and how much they love each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Standing on rooftops together.
Yeah, and apparently they were...
There's a lot of talking in this book.
Yeah, basically, it's just a moment where they're like, you know, we might have to at some point kill each other. And I'm like, well, that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah.
You know, because we're
assassins.
You know, and I've got
this
you know,
is what we do.
Matsuo's got like this sweet ass hair, and
he's got an eye patch.
Yeah, I know he got his eye patch after at some point.
Yeah, then we are in the present when he was like looking at a picture of him and his girlfriend, and now he's like, oh, she left me. I'm so mad. Like, oh, my heart's broken. And that's when we see a bunch of hands.
Yeah,
like peeling an apple and being like, well, I can help you. And he's like, well, you already said that. He's like, well, all I promised is that she would walk out of that like genetic chamber, and she did.
Yeah,
you know, I have no part in this.
And clearly it's Spiral.
Yeah, it's Spiral.
You know, the Spiral's there, and she's peeling an apple. Here's the thing, she peels an apple entirely,
and then she like
slices off a piece of like this completely de-skinned apple and then just throws it on the ground. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
And it's a waste of an apple.
It really was. And so then we're back in the X-Men mansion. Psylocke is training in the danger room.
How does she move her body like this?
What happens when you have a really long ass.
Let's describe.
It's just a lot of extra joints.
Let's describe.
So instead of just having like one hip joint, you have like five.
Describe what we see here. How is she posed?
I don't even think I can describe it. So, she's upside down. Her left arm is punching.
Her left arm isn't holding a sword. Both of her hands are holding swords, and they're slashing to the right.
It's like she's doing kind of a cartwheel-ish.
Well, okay. This is what I see. So
I see a bunch of hair and an ass, really. That's all I see.
Well, that's pretty much what you see. Her arms are slashing to the right with a sword. Her head is moving towards the left. And then her waist, though...
kind of towards the left.
It's turning towards the left, and her legs are, like, outstretched.
Yeah.
And, like, twisted, and, like, her waist is twisted almost, like, 90 degrees.
Yeah. Like, I, you know, again, I think it's when you have a really long ass, you have, like, a bunch of hip joints. It's kind of like, think about, like, a six-shooter gun. That's, like, your hip joints.
Yeah.
You have that many hip joints. Your leg just goes...
Yeah, pretty much. So,
it's like Halloween.
Wait, what?
The movie.
Oh, wait. That's Jason. That's Friday the 13th.
Oh, is it?
I'd be like,
yeah, yeah. Is it Friday the 13th? I have to watch those again.
Well, probably Halloween's like.
Wait, what's the Halloween one? Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Whichever one is.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
That's Friday the 13th.
So, and then she's doing kind of like a.
Oh, here's one where she just looks like she's like.
She looks
farting
like she's,
on a robot.
I was going to say, she looks like she's hitting a robot in the face with her ass.
Well, I mean, essentially
again,
she is.
Again, her giant, many-jointed hip ass.
Oh, yeah, that's a hip ass. She might be farting on it.
I think she is farting on it. And then a hologram of Angel shows up.
But his Angel as
not Archangel.
Like, not Archangel.
Angel.
But in his, like, his old-school Angel outfit. And she's like, he's like, oh, man, you're kicking some ass. And she's like...
You're not real.
You're not real. So she slices him.
Yeah. And then who is this guy? Warren?
Well, that's Angel.
Oh, really?
So this is Angel. Okay. So now we have Archangel.
This is not him as Archangel, though. Is it?
Yes, but he doesn't have his Archangel outfit on.
I thought Archangel. So he's not a bad guy now.
No. No, what happened? Basically, what happened with Angel was that he
again, the X-Men are so fucking confusing.
So basically, what happened with Angel was that he, you know, Warren Worthington,
yes.
He had his wings, whatever. He was in Defenders, whatever. And then X-Factor came along. He joined X-Factor,
mm-hmm.
And then the Mutant Massacre came along, and they fucking stabbed his wings up, and you know, a bunch of the guys they were fighting,
mm-hmm.
And they had to amputate his wings.
Okay,
but he was so depressed, and he was like. Yo, I want to be back being dope and shit. And Apocalypse shows up and he's like, yeah, I can help you with that, but you got to be like my slave.
Oh.
And you're now going to be Archangel. I'm going to make your skin blue.
Sure, why not?
And you're going to have that outfit that everybody, you know, that you probably would recognize.
Yeah.
And, you know, eventually, you know, he was a bad guy and then he turned face.
Okay.
You know, and then he ended up joining the X-Men proper, you know, and here he is.
Dressed like a waiter.
Yes, he's Corbin Baron Corbin.
Yes, because he's wearing like black pants, a white shirt, and a very skinny tie.
Yeah, he's got that. That's a skinny ass tie.
It's a very, especially for the 90s. That's a skinny ass tie. That's like a tie you'd wear today.
Yo, he might be in the Knack or in the fucking Cars.
Yep.
And shit.
Yep.
Fucking new wave.
He's gonna go join Devo right after this.
Actually, it'd be great if he's good because he's got this beautiful long blonde hair.
Yeah, he just basically looks like Beast with blonde hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, like a lighter Beast.
And he's got his blue skin and he's like, so she cuts through this hologram and he's like, hey. You want
to go get some breakfast?
He's like, yo, I'm blue, but I need to eat.
Yeah, and she's like, cool, let's go into town.
And then we get my boy Beast and he's having some upside down coffee.
How does he drink that?
I don't understand because so he's holding.
That's the thing, he's holding it like. I don't get
well,
it.
Well, he's upside down,
how
but
do you
he's sipping it, but the cup would just spill down up his nose.
That's what I mean. That's why I don't understand.
But here
like,
he's holding it upside down, even though right side up, even though he's upside down.
Yeah, but how does he drink it at all?
I don't know. Because he would just, because I mean, you would
he's like, he's talking to Charles. He's in Charles's, I'm assuming, study or office or whatever. He's hanging from the ceiling fan, which I don't think that would support Beast's weight.
Well, maybe Charles.
I mean, like a.
I'm gonna say that Charles probably has a mansion Beast proofed.
Oh, does he?
So that if Beast wants to hang off of something, it's supported enough that he can do it.
Okay.
I think he's planned this because you know because Beast has been around for a while. He's like, yo, he's like, he probably when they first had the mansion, he's like, hey, you know, I see this Hank. You know, Hank's pretty beefy, so I'm gonna get like titanium. Fans,
sure.
In my
they're made
mansion.
Of vibranium.
And you make some vibranium, you know. It's like, yo, they only make the only thing they make out of vibranium are Captain America's shield and my fans. because Beast wants to hang off of them.
So Charles is like, look, I need your help because is he going somewhere?
Basically,
yeah, he's going to the Xavier Institute.
Yeah, because I guess something happened with the White Queen. The White Queen, something, she became incapacitated. So she's like.
So he's got to go, like, check that out.
Yeah.
But Beast is like, So let me get this straight. You want me to head the blue team, which I do. And now you want me to assume all the duties of taking care of the school.
Yeah.
While you run off to the institute. He's like, but I'll do it, but that's a lot of fucking work.
Yeah, basically he's like, I'll do
it. But also, I'm supposed to be finding a cure for
the legacy virus.
That's really where my focus has been, which is why I'm not a super active member of the X-Men right now, because I'm trying to cure all these mutants.
Fucking A, right? I'm a doctor.
That's right, Dr. Hank McCoy.
Dr. Hank McCoy.
I love Beast, always have.
Yeah. So stop putting us all on Beast.
Right?
So
then we cut to like...
So here's our one scene of...
Rogue and Gambit. Gambit...
There's a lot going on in this page.
It's just, you know...
Gambit is having a brooding cigarette
in the mansion. He's wearing a sleeveless shirt.
Oh, yeah. And tidy shorts.
He really does look like he should be outside of a sketchy gym. Maybe like a really old, like, gold gym that needs to be renovated.
just Gambit just sitting outside and be like, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah. You know,
come
that,
do some preacher crew with me, mon ami.
Pretty much. He's the guy who sells you steroids.
you think he's
that's
the
what he looks like, though. I don't think he... I mean, he doesn't need to sell anybody. He doesn't need steroids.
I don't think he's selling steroids. I think he's just selling...
He just looks like he's selling ecstasy.
I don't think he's selling anything to help enhancers. I think he's just selling fucking E.
You're right. If anybody has ever loved ecstasy, it is Gambit. He's definitely gonna roll.
Would you like some ecstasy?
So he stops by Rogue's room and she's like just hanging out in like a shirt.
She's got one of those like 80s shirts that kind of hangs off the shoulders.
Like, yeah, and like it's really short.
And that's her sleeping shirt.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, didn't you want to have breakfast? And she's like, I just wanted to lay under the comforter. Comforter's only on her feet. She's like, I just wanted to lay under my comforter and read my book. And he's like, are you okay? And she's like, oh, I'm okay. I mean, ever since New Orleans.
Apparently something, because Gavin happened. Had his many series or something happened. But did you read like this whole fucking breakfast thing they're doing?
Yeah, they just want to have sex with each other.
Well, right, but they're talking about like the actual breakfast that he had.
Oh, that's right. Some gross ass breakfast he was talking about.
So apparently Gambit's idea of breakfast was taking granola and chocolate Rice Krispies.
And mixing them together.
And fucking mixing them together.
And so they have some sort of like chocolate milky sludge.
Milky sludge. And so she's like, he's like, Rogue, why did you come downstairs to have sludgy breakfast with me?
And she's like, oh, did you save me any? And he's like, no, I ate it all, whatever.
Which, I mean, looking at Gambit, he ain't fucking eating carbs.
Well, I mean, if your mutant power is just like, you're always in shape.
It's probably.
Which, could I have that mutant power?
Oh, yeah, just being That'd fucking be ripped awesome. And being
I'm constantly
power.
Ripped, but I don't have to do anything for it. Like, nothing would make me happy.
Apparently, you can eat this asshole breakfast.
Yeah, all the time.
Whatever it is, he's like, I made this breakfast. And, like, Rogue's
sounds
like,
gross.
And actually, what's kind of gross is that Rogue is like, why didn't you save some of that ugly, that gross crap for me?
Right?
He's like, I did. It's in the bowl with the covered with saran wrap.
Ugh.
And she's like, I love the sugar rush, mama. Yeah,
they just want to fuck.
Whatever. And she's, basically, it's just
like, it's all just double. It's all just like, we would be fucking if Rogue. Rogue has the shittiest power.
She does.
I feel so bad for her. Because who wants that power? You can't fuck anybody.
No. You can't even really do it. Basically, the only thing you could do is just go in with a condom. But you can't touch anything.
It would have to be a full body condom. It would have to be a latex.
Oh, it would have to be like the Naked Gun.
It's a latex Zentai suit, and that is the only way you could fuck. And how shitty is that?
Danzig.
I would like to see Danzig in a full body Zentai suit.
Okay.
And it just has like that, you know, like his belt buckle, like Demon Head, just has like that airbrush. He's airbrushed like a van. That his Zentai is like airbrushed like a van.
Oh, no, Zentai is airbrushed like Danzig, like a full body Danzig face.
No, like, I was just thinking like one of those like vans with like moons and wolves on it.
It definitely moves and wolves.
Yeah, that's it. It's got to have stilts too, because then he could be taller and he'd be happy about that.
Hey, who's that Zentai guy that, with an airbrushed van, Zentai? It's a Zentai?
The Zentai suit, yeah.
Who's that guy in the airbrushed Zentai suit?
Wearing a small stilts.
That looks like a 70s van that's also walking in stilts. Oh, that's just Danzig. I bet that's Danzig.
He's just going to go get some cat litter from Ralph's.
He's going to get some cat litter and maybe have sex with Rogue on his way out. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, also, yeah, was it? Also, it's also gross too, because like, she's like, did you leave me any? And he's like, I sucked it all up. And he breathes smoke out of his nose.
Oh, I know. I'd be like, get out of my room.
I remember this page very vividly from my younger days.
Why?
And I just well, what? Look what's going on here.
Were you looking?
Gambit's wearing shorts.
he's smoking.
Rogue is like, I love sugar, and then he's like, I sucked all the sugar up. This is it for them. They're just like, hey, we had a shitty breakfast. I didn't save you any shitty breakfast. You figured he'd be like, yeah, I made some egg whites with some gumbo in it.
Yeah, or beignets.
Oh yeah, he
probably he must make like a damn good beignet, right?
Do you remember that stupid movie?
Can you eat a breakfast beignet? I'm assuming
that was that fuck. That, I always remember that movie Chef.
Oh,
the kid's like, I can't wait to eat a beignet, and I'm like, whatever.
You know what? That movie. The more I think about that movie, the angrier I can get. I'm gonna tweet at somebody.
Speaking of Twitter,
yeah. Oh yeah, Twitter's all in that movie. But I'm gonna tweet it.
Thankfully, nobody's like being like, yeah, exactly. One of the tweets that he sends out isn't like, fuck you, Ruby Rose, or whatever.
Fuck you, John Favreau.
Hey, yeah, just John, just tweeting at, just as his character tweeting at John Favreau, like, you suck, John Favreau.
That would be so funny.
Actually, that would have been fucked.
I talked to him on the phone once, and I didn't know it was him.
Hey, that's how it goes sometimes.
Yep. That was it.
If you don't see him in person, you can't have a thing to say to them.
No, I was very polite. I just didn't realize it was him.
So now we get more flashbacks. We get the flashback of the aforementioned fight.
Between
Kuwanin and Matsuo.
And her boyfriend.
And the boyfriend, and she falls off the roof.
Yes.
Or the fucking thing, or whatever, the cliff.
And then we get, like, her in real life trying to kill him, but she's wearing, like, a bandana over her eyes, because remember, she doesn't have any.
Yeah. She ripped out her eyes, but she could still do, you know, psychic stuff.
Yeah.
And then, so now, before we see what happens with that, now we go to we're Westchester, New York.
Yep, Westchester, New York. We're with Psylocke and Angel. They're walking down the street. It's cold out. He has some sort of device that allows him to just look like a white guy.
Yeah, because he's blue. But
yeah,
he's like,
there's a name for it. They say
image inducer.
Yeah, and it's cold, and they're like all bundled up and stuff.
What do you think of their outfits?
I think they look dressed very
nice.
Yeah, no, I approve of these outfits. We've got knee-high boots, which I always love. We've got a nice jacket.
Yeah.
She got
beret.
Yeah, he looks good. He's wearing a nice suit. But I would like to point this out, that they're walking down the street and it looks very busy. There's a lot of people out, a lot of kids, a lot of families and stuff. And they're talking about why he looks like a white dude instead of a blue guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I don't want to draw attention to myself and blah, 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 blah. And she's like, yeah, I could see that. Oh, hey, we're in the middle of the street. Look at these eyeballs. And she just like pulls him out. I'm like, you didn't want to like draw attention to yourself, because I guess she told him over breakfast.
She told her breakfast, is like, I found these eyeballs.
That she found some eyeballs, and then he was like, well, now that we're in the middle of the street in front of all these children, would you like to show me those eyeballs? And so she does. Which I'm like, that's not discreet. You have a whole mansion to do that in.
I know. You have, like, a gigantic mansion.
Not only that, but like, go behind the... I'm assuming there's an athletic field. There must be bleachers. Go under the bleachers.
Yeah, go under the bleachers.
Go under the bleachers and show off your eyes. Like,
kick the teenagers out that are having sex.
Right?
Tell them, like, hey, I got to show my girl my eyeballs.
Where does everybody go to do drugs? Go there.
My girl wants to show me her eyeballs.
Is that just a euphemism for tits? Look at my eyeballs.
My eyeballs.
Look at my fried eggs.
Oh, man.
Womp, womp.
Yeah. No, basically, she's just like, yeah, she left me these eyeballs. And he's like...
So I'm just carrying them in my pocket. That's not weird.
And she's like, well, you know, this kind of all ties in with, I guess it ties in, they're trying to figure out how this connects with Mojo or whatever, I guess, and maybe has something to do with Spiral. I mean, at the end, they're like, who could have done this? I'm like, it's fucking Spiral. You knew that. But, you know, whatever. So they're staring at eyeballs in the middle of Westchester, New York. And then he starts giving her a massage for some reason. He's like,
yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I don't know. And now, then we're back.
Now we're back with
Kuwanin and her boyfriend. And she's like, you know, what did you do to me? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you know, I just wanted you back, so we did this thing. Yeah,
Want you back for good.
You know, maybe it wasn't right, but that's what we did. And you know, we can still fix this. Let's go try to live. And she's like, no, you don't understand that this body is dying. And she, like, rips her shirt open. She's got, like, all the legacy virus all over her.
Yeah, it's basically, like, a bunch of pulsating veins.
She looks like she's been attacked by a cat.
Oh, yeah. It's actually kind of gross because mostly it just looks like...
It is gross.
You know, like pink, like these pink
you know,
veins or whatever, that all over thing. But then just like some, there's some white pockets here.
Yeah, it's
disgusting. And I'm like, ew!
And she's like, this body is dying. I know I don't have enough time, so you know what? You need to do me a favor. Here's a knife. Stab me.
And he's like,
no, I can't. And she's like, no, you owe me. Please, I don't want to die of this horrible virus. I'd rather just get stabbed to death. So he does, and just as he kills her, the virus takes over. And I guess it, like, burns them or kind of, like, fireworks them. I'm not sure.
Well, the all these, like, psychic energies. Because basically what happened was Betsy Braddock had all these psychic powers.
Mm-hmm.
And she was transferred, you know, when all this body bullshit was going on, they kind of split these powers.
Right.
So what happened was after she stabs her and she dies or whatever, she fucking explodes in a bunch of purple. And then Psylocke back in New York is like having like seizures in a car, and it causes Angel to crash his car.
Yeah.
And thankfully they're okay, but you know, she realizes that, you know, that person's dead. You know, that revenge is dead.
Yes.
And that's it. So, yeah. And then, you know, and then she's like, oh, my God, who could have did this? And then we see Spiral, and Spiral's like, yo, it was me.
Right.
You know, she's just standing. I don't know where the fuck she is. She's just standing. Is she actually in the tree above them, I think?
Yeah, it's a real weird drawing because, like, Spiral is sitting in the tree, but she's got, you know, all the arms and stuff. And then her legs, the way that they're, like, pulled up under her.
Yeah.
Her feet are so small and her body's so big. It's just weird.
Yeah, her feet are really small.
Yeah, for somebody her size, she needs a bigger shoe.
She has Bruiser Brody boots, too. I like that.
Yeah.
And, next issue, Spiral is back. And she spins a dance of love and hate. That sounds like a goth thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Actually, that sounds like something like you would, like, you know, Dance of Love and Hate by Nina Hagen or whatever the fuck. But who will turn to face the music? Plus, what or who has gotten into Rogue? She didn't want to get up early to eat a bunch of fucking carbs.
Nope.
And I keep wanting to call him Danzig. Gambit had to come up in his little shorts and be like, I sucked it all up.
Ew.
Gross. And that's it. Next issue, Psylocke prepares to battle Spiral, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And that's it for this issue. The letters page, Expressions.
Yeah. Meh.
I forgot what the Uncanny X-Men was, but Expressions, not bad. Meh. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Pretty accurate. I'm not going to read any letters. Fuck them.
Yep.
Fuck them.
Fuck them.
That's it for X-Men, Volume 2, Number 31, from April 1994. Do you want to read the next issue?
Maybe.
We know what happens.
I know.
Fighting.
Yeah, I'll give it a maybe.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. X-Men in the 90s were... It was one of the things for me that I watched the cartoon, I got into comics, and then I was like, okay, X-Men comics. And then it was like, don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I can handle this. There's a lot going on here. And then, like, yeah. And the thing is, just as I was getting into this, like, all this shit's happening.
Right.
And then, like, Age of Apocalypse happens. So that fucked everything up. You know, you had there was a lot going on in the 90s with the X-Men.
That's why I've never been able to get into the X-Men, except for, like, the animated thing.
Yeah.
Where things are, like, all reduced. There's just so much shit going on and so much history that I'm just like, duh.
Yeah. That's probably why we don't do a lot of X-Men on the show. Yeah,
well, we don't have a ton of it.
We don't have a ton of it. There's actually better shows that do explain the X-Men. I think it's... why am I blanking on Jay and Miles Explain the X-Men? Check them out. Or Miles and Jay. I can't remember what it's called. But they do an excellent job at this. Far better than we ever would.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm probably not going to track it down. At some point, though, I will read all the X-Men books we have just so I can be like, sure. Oh, I am learned.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I will. One day I will get Mutant Massacre. I will get Inferno. Because Inferno is all about fucking demons and shit. Badass.
Mm-hmm.
It's tragic as fuck, like the 80s, man. Maybe the library might have that.
Maybe.
Because I don't know. Maybe I won't like it. At least, mm-hmm. At least I'm only renting it. Rent mm-hmm. a comic, guys, if you can.
Yeah.
That's it for this week's episode. Thanks for listening, folks. You can find us again on Twitter, which for now is at AngryHeroSean. And
I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. Find us on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever, and email us, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
Please rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review if you think we deserve it. That would be dope. And also, check us out on Treasury Cast.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. You can find that on Apple Podcasts under Treasury Cast with Rob Kelly. We were on there, and it was a lot of fun, so you should check that out. So thanks again for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.